So, welcome to the Squeak and Croquet demo. I'm Markus Denker, and I'm involved in the Squeak project since 1998, I think. And I stumbled across it completely by accident and got hooked, and it really has paid off. It was lots of fun over the last years. And I want to try to show a bit of what Squeak is about and what Squeak will develop into over in the next years. And that's the croquet part of the talk, which is a system implemented in Squeak that is really interesting to look at. So a short overview. The talk will have three parts. The first is a bit about the Squeak project as a whole, what the goals are and the history of the project. And it will show a bit what Squeak is. It is really hard to explain what Squeak is. So if you have other open source projects, it's very easy to say, this is just a free version of Word or a free version of PowerPoint. But Squeak is a bit harder to explain, and the first part will be about that. The second part will show first Squeak, how it is used for small kids, so for the small hackers. And then the second part will show Squeak for the older hackers, how to really use Squeak like a normal programming system. And the last part will be about Croquet, and this will be a bit different, so I will show it a bit. So part one, what is Squeak, and in the second part, a bit about the history and Alan Kay's ideas about the Diner book. So let's see, what is Squeak? It is really hard to come up with a single definition, and so I just will show a bit what you can do with Squeak now. The first thing is multimedia, which sounds pretty boring, but it's nice to have some features for that. So the simplest thing is doing text layout, so like the stuff that was invented in the 70s. So I have a small example project. It's the first page of an article by Alan Kay that was in Scientific American in 1991. And this is recreated in Squeak and shows the abilities of doing Word-like stuff. So you can drop in some picture, get controls, and for example, make it larger, and the text will nicely flow around the picture. Or you can turn it around. So, quite basic functionality that you would like to have in a system that is about media. But I think Word is not yet capable of doing this in real time. So, the other thing that you can really nicely do with Squeak, if you know a bit how to do it, is presentations. So the whole presentation that you see is, of course, done in Squeak. And this is the desktop that shows all the sub-projects that I did for the presentation. So you can get an overview of what you will see later. And I can show... Yeah. Another thing that you want to do is video and audio, so to be really multimedia. And here is a small example of what the multimedia functionalities are. So you have, for example, a small keyboard, and you can record stuff. Let's see. Test. Wow. Or you can use recorded sound in your synthesizer. And this is written completely in Squeak, so we are not using some library for that. So it's completely implemented in Squeak and runs on all different kinds of machines that Squeak supports. And we have a video and MPEG-3 player, which I will show when going into this other project. So you can, for example, open an MPEG-2 file. Let's see, and it should normally work. Why not? Let's see, get a new one of that. Okay. So this is a video about Squeak by, let's play it from the beginning. This was done by students from Ball State University. And they actually won some prizes for it, I think 5 Grammys or something. And it's really nicely done. So they use professional digital equipment.
Probably the most important thing that we're facing today.
Squeak, squeak, squeak.
Squeak is a way of doing something.
So I'm a squeaker.
That thing that you're trying to do with it is fundamentally important.
Pokemon squeak at us.
Squeak, squeak, squeak.
Squeak is our latest attempt to invent personal computing.
Squeak, squeak, squeak.
So this video is available on, you can buy it actually at the Squeakland website if you want to watch it. It's kind of interesting to see what is done with Squeak in education. So if you're interested, you should definitely look at it. I have one copy with me that I could sell or give away if someone is really interested. Sadly, I didn't have the time to organize more. Here's the URL, squeakersfilm.org, if you're interested. We will see a bit of what is done with Squeak in education later. The next thing is programming for children. So Squeak is used in education to allow relatively small kids to do programming, so around 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. And for that, Squeak has a kids program environment that I will briefly show here, so a small and do a nice demo later. This is a small program that Sam, here's the picture, did at school. And the idea is to have an animation. So this ball is supposed to be animated. And he did it by drawing lots of different balls and then writing a small program. And the program is just to increase the holder's cursor by one. And then say that the sketch, which is this, should look like the player, the holder's player at the cursor. And if you now execute this over and over again, you get a really nice animated ball. It's just two lines of code. And of course, this is pretty nicely to change. No syntax error for the kids, because you can only drag stuff in that is syntactically correct. In a way, Squeak is even its own operating system. There was a project that that was called SqueakNOS, Squeak No Operating System, and they implemented a Squeak as an operating system on the computer. So it really booted on a PC and had a TCP/IP stack completely written in Smalltalk in the native language of Squeak. And they got to a point that they could boot it and actually have a small graphical user interface. So it's perfectly possible to view Squeak as its own operating system. The other thing, it's another view on Squeak is that it is an integrated development environment for normal programmers doing commercial development. And this is the environment that it was used to implement Squeak itself and to implement the kids' programming stuff. So this is actually live, our class browser. And we see we have here just a collection of a small kind of pre-sorting for the classes so that you can find the stuff more easily. And then we have here the classes, like a float or fraction. And then we want to look at the methods, and they are sorted too to make it easier to find stuff like arithmetic, is like plus. And this is how you can view everything inside Squeak. So everything is available to look at and to change, actually, at runtime. Like we have here the plus operation for floats. And if I would now change it, I could break everything because I would change the definition that is used now to do calculations. Or you can look into objects with an inspector. Here is an inspector that looks at the object that is the background or the project. And as soon as you open a different window, it will add it to the list of sub objects, like this one, and then this changes, at, and you can view it at runtime. So, and the last and really important view of Squeak is that Squeak is a community. So we have lots of developers. The mailing list has around 1,000 members, the development mailing list. We have not that regularly meetings that are called Squeak parties nowadays, where people can meet and everyone is invited to join and to discuss and to show stuff. And for the teachers and parents, we have squeakland.org, which is a bit non-technical and shows the kids' stuff more in detail and has its own mailing list. And then we have, for Germany, we have a German Squeak Association with a mailing list that has now over 100 members. And this is really a very important part of Squeak, the community. It's really nice that you can discuss stuff and that answers for your problems are given very, very fast and very good. So, to really understand what Squeak is, we need to look at where it comes from. And the interesting thing is that the history of Squeak is really, really long. So it goes back to 1968, or maybe even a bit earlier. And back then, Alan Kay, who is even today involved in Squeak, or is the main squeaker in a sense. And he had the idea of building a computer for kids in 1968. The idea was that this wouldn't be a computer to just, print stuff out like later with the Mac, but to have really its own dynamic medium for allowing the children to be creative and to create their own content and to simulate. For example, the ideas they learn in school to learn them really well. He had that idea in 68, and I think around 1970 he went to Xerox PARC, and there he led the group that invented the graphical user interface that we know today and the Smalltalk programming language. And this is really the original graphical system. So if you have heard the story that there was something before Windows, which was the Mac. Yeah. There was something before the Mac, which was the Lisa computer. And before that, there was a Xerox Star. And before the Xerox Star, there was Smalltalk with its first windowing graphical user interface. And actually, Steve Jobs visited Xerox PARC at the end of the 70s and got a really good introduction into Smalltalk and had then the idea of changing the plans for the Lisa computer to have a graphical user interface. The only thing he did not get was both the network and the object-oriented programming. So the network was, they had Ethernet back then at Xerox PARC because they had invented it, and they had the whole system implemented in a completely object-oriented language. And Steve Jobs then went on after Apple to found Next. And Next was the idea to bring back the object orientation into the operating system, into the graphical user interface. So the Xerox PARC phase ended around 1980 for the small talkers around Alan Kay. And the kids' programming kind of got abandoned, and Smalltalk was used to build a real normal programming environment, for example, building stuff for banks. And it was fairly successful before Java for that, so it was inherited a bit of the COBOL programmers at the beginning of the 90s. Squeak then was started in 1996. At first at Apple, but then the group moved on to Disney, where they stayed till 2001, I think, and now Alan Kay is at HP. Of course, keeping on doing Squeak and Croquet. The main focus of the group is now to work on the Croquet stuff that I will show later, but of course build on top of Squeak and bring the ideas of Squeak forward. So this is a picture of the Dynabook, but not of the Dynabook that was built, because back then this would have been impossible, but it is a cardboard model of the Dynabook from, I think, 1971 or something, where they tested how large can it be to be portable, how heavy could it be, how stable does it need to be for the kids to handle it, because they will do strange stuff with it. And the idea was that a portable system would only be portable if you can carry something else besides it. So that is why it is the design that you see here. It is kind of a tablet PC. And they built a computer that Alan always calls a Dynabook mock-up computer, which fairly much looks like the PCs today. So it had a bitmap graphics display, i800x600, I think, black and white, and I think 256 kilobytes of RAM, and a quite kind of interesting processor, no microprocessor, but a discretely built, and this was used to implement Smalltalk then. Here at the right, you see a picture that Alan drew, I think in 1968 or something, of how the idea of the basic idea of what he wanted to build. So you can see there is a Space Wars kind of program on the computer. So, and they are playing a network game. And I now want to show first the eToys program for kids, and then show a bit of how Squeak is used for by real programmers. I think I won't have real time for showing Seaside, which is a really, really interesting web framework done in Squeak, but maybe a short introduction or short demo. Squeak for kids. So the idea is that it should be really simple to start programming. So we need to first paint some object that we want to control. And the example used at a fairly early stage of Squeak program is to draw a car, a really simple car. So with big black tires. My paintings are mostly not that nice. So, and then you can, directly after drawing the car, you have an object. So you can pick it up, or you can turn it around, you can make it bigger and smaller with these controls. And one control, the eye, gives you a viewer inside your object. And this is what it looks like. We should name it, maybe, car. Okay, and now every sketch that you draw has already some predefined functions, like forward by and turn by, and so we can just take it out, and we have a small script. Now it is really complicated to explain looping to children, and so the scripts are a bit more intelligent. They have a small clock that you can click, and then they get executed for some steps per second. You can actually select how often. So this is 8 times per second. And if you click that, it gets executed over and over again. And you have a small program for your car to go forward. And we can add a turn by. And as soon as we start the program, the car will drive a circle. We could now, for example, make a steering wheel. So we take the painter and just draw a steering wheel, a very simple one. Ooh. Not nice. But I think it will do. Keep. Wow, that's bad. But we can turn it, so good. So, and as soon as we turn it, we will see in the viewer that some values will change. The heading will change. So, and the kids always play with the numbers that you see here. So they already know that if you change the turn by, that this circle will be wider or narrower. So they kind of know that if I would replace that with the steering wheel's heading, that I will get some interesting effect. Let's see. I need to grab that. But it is kind of hard to drive it. For the real hackers around here, you can, for example, just remove the forward by and it will just go around and around and around. And if you think about what I do here is that I change the program at runtime without having to recompile the whole thing. So no stop the program, start make, restart the program. But I can change it at runtime. And so this has some interesting consequences for the system for use for a real programmer, because he can maybe use the same kind of a system, for example, web programming. So you don't have to stop your server when a small dump error is there, but you can just fix there and continue to work. The kids then make scripts that will make the steering automatic, and so you can draw a race track, and then let the cars go. So they will just look at the color besides the yellow point and steer accordingly. And this does not work always, so this red car now has a problem. Stop, and we can actually look at the code. Let's see. And this is the code that this is from a real kids project, to have two cars doing the racing. And this is the code that the kid did. So you see that you can easily test for values, like test blue cars, yellow color, sees yellow color, then it goes forward by random 10. Kind of interesting. And the kind of complexity you can reach with this kind of scripting is shown here. This is a program that was not done by a kid, but I think by Alan himself. And it shows how far you can go with this. And this is really a small Lulon Lander program. Yep, worked. Or if you don't steer it, it will just fall down and explode. And this is the whole code that you need to implement that. So the whole simulation of gravity and the explosion and everything. It is maybe a bit too complicated and could be made simpler, but this shows a bit how this kind of child environment can scale up to a really a small game. And here we see typical projects that kids did at a school in Los Angeles. I don't know how it is. You have here a laser eye. Superman can look inside the house. Nope, I don't want that. Or another program that was done by an adult and not by a kid, and this is a Pac-Man implementation in eToys. So you can somehow steer your Pac-Man, there he is, and eat the dots. And as soon as you go to this red ones, you will go to, will be, you will die. So here are some more projects. I will put the whole image, the whole squeak image, on the web so that you can play with it yourself if you want to. Now we will look at Squeak from a real hacker's perspective. So we have seen that the language for the kids already had some really interesting properties that we would like to have for our own programming. And this is a short introduction into what the system is like. So it is completely object-oriented. Everything is an object. And everything means really everything. So every number is an object. There is no data type for integers that would be a non-object, like in Java. And even the execution stack is an object, which makes really nice stuff possible. It is based on a virtual machine using a bytecode interpreter, a garbage collector, and it has a huge class library. And here's a small example of a piece of code, like can print out 100 factorial. Let's see. Yep, large number. The class library is really quite extensive. We have lots of stuff for 2D graphics like TrueType, Flash, and image formats and video. 3D graphics, especially in Croquet later. Sound, and lots of networking stuff, and stuff like compression, PostScript export. Everything is written in Squeak and runs on all supported platforms. Because it uses a simple bytecode interpreter, it is really portable. So it is has been ported to nearly everything that you can think of. For example, even to stuff like this. Hyperstone is a processor done by a small company in Germany, which is used in digital cameras, I think. And they needed something to show on their booth. And so they did a Squeak for that. Or one guy that is doing a really nice autonomous underwater vehicle, and he uses Squeak to control it. In one of the older versions, he had a small PDA that did run Squeak, and he has written the complete simulator to simulate his programs in Squeak. This is now more for the programmers. The language that Squeak uses is the Smalltalk that was invented at Xerox PAC in the 70s. Not that changed, so it's really kind of that what it was 30 years ago or 25 years ago. And the nice thing, it is really, really simple. So you could actually think about Smalltalk as that what is left over if you take away everything that's not needed from Java. So you have six reserved words. Self, which is like this, super, true and false, which are actually kind of pseudo variables and not reserved words, like nil, which is the undefined object, and this context is the current execution context in the method. So kind of this is not used by normal programmers, but you can do really nice stuff with this. And then we can write down some objects directly in the code, like a number 1, then you have an integer, 1.1, you have a float, a string, an array that way, or a character. And this is really, can execute it, print it, and it's an object. And then you need to call methods. And this is a bit strange in Smalltalk, because it uses this notation for calling method with one parameter. So 3 raised to 4 is 81. Or 4 between 3 and 5 is true, because 4 is between 3 and 5. And you need to read it the way that I think the easiest thing is to make it a Java kind of thing. So this would be in Java this code. So we use some kind of we put the parameters inside the method to make it easy, much easier readable. This is something that you really need to get used to, but it makes the code really, really much more readable than everything else. Because you don't know if 3 is or 5, which should be the first parameter. And if you use this kind of notation, you always know that you are correct between 3 and 5. Okay. And the method is between and. So the other thing that we need is... you can't define operators in Java, no. But in Java, not, but here you can. You can write that. You can write what you... Of course you can write... Not on numbers. Yeah, you would need to make... would need to make a capital integer out of it, which is, yeah, lots of code for nothing. The other thing that is really important for Smalltalk is blocks. Blocks is just a piece of code that is not yet executed. So it can have parameters and the code inside square brackets. So if I write 1 in square brackets, I can execute it and print it, and I get this is a block. And as soon as I write value, it will evaluate the code inside the block and it will return 1. And this is what is used for control structures in Smalltalk. In Ruby, you have something very similar to that. And the other thing you need, if you define methods, you need a way to define local variables, and you need to say, I want to return a value. And this is it. Everything else is implemented as methods on top of this syntax. So if true, so a small test works like that. So you have a method if true, if false, with 2 blocks as parameters, and it gets evaluated accordingly to if 1 smaller 2 evaluates to true or not. So 1 is an object. This is a method, and this is the parameter, and you will get true out of it. And the whole thing then you can call the if true if false method, and it will evaluate to the correct answer. Or you can do nice stuff with arrays, like just adding 3 to the whole array, which is kind of interesting. Or you have on all kinds of collections like arrays, you have a very high level database-like interface. You can do a selection. So this select gets a block, and the block has says what I want to select, and I want to select everything that is bigger than 2 and make a new collection, so I get 3.2 and 4. Or I can make a new collection and get the class of all the objects inside. This will get small integer, float, small integer, and stuff like that. Or you can just execute that. And you get a browser on all the classes. Float, small integer. And that's the language. Very simple. It's just object orientation with the smallest syntax possible. I now will show quite fast the C-side, a small C-side example. Not too much because the time is running out. This is the part of Squeak that is used in commercial development now. CSAT was done by Avi Brandt, and he started with Ruby and stopped using Ruby because you can't do some things with Ruby that you can do with Squeak. And so he switched his ideas to Squeak and implemented the framework again. And this has some really nice properties. The entire user session is modeled as one piece of code, and this means that your C-side code for web development will look like you're writing a graphical user interface application. Your pages can call and return to each other like subroutine calls, and you don't have to remember where to return to if you go to a new page. And this makes it much, much easier to write very complex web applications. And one really interesting thing is the back button always works. So we can show that. Let's see. Firefox. So here's a really, really simple CSide. So this is the Squeak image that I use for the demo has the whole web stuff loaded. So it has a web server and CSide and everything I need. So and it makes a web server on 1990. And this is a really simple, small and simple application, which is just a counter. You can make plus or minus. And the nice thing is that the back button works. So if I have 3 and I go back and then I press on minus, I get 1 and not... So the what you see is always in sync with the stuff that the computer thinks that you do. And this is by really doing... going backwards in time. So as soon as I press the back button, it rolls back the execution of the program. We have, like in the kids program environment, we have halos here. So I can get a halo on my WI counter. And for example, look at the code. And this is a browser that is now in the web browser. And this is the WI counter class. And you see it is fairly small. We have an accessor for count. This is defined here. We have an instance variable count. We have an accessor. We have a decrease method, which just makes minus 1 on the counter, an increase plus 1. We set the count to 0 and register it for the backtracking stuff for the back button. And the whole program logic is that. So we say we need a heading. And then we make a link plus plus, and every time the link is invoked, we just execute this block of code: self increase or self decrease on minus minus, and that's it. Not more. And to show that you can really call other pages like subroutines, you can. For example, in the decrease, we can test if count is 0 and do something strange, like count equals 0. If true, self inform. Oops. So we can now save that. Okay. And now, if we go back to our program, it should do something as soon as we are below 0. Yup. Okay. And this, yeah. So, very simple to program even complicated web applications. For example, the browser that you invoke using this small icon here is a CSide component. And I can do whatever I want to do inside the browser. As soon as I press on close, it goes back to where I invoked the browser without having that programmed explicitly. So it really brings back the normal program flow that you are used to the web. Really interesting and makes web programming much easier. Someone did a really nice demo on top of that, which is a Squeak a development environment inside the web browser. So I have here a small workspace, and I can add, I don't know, just write some code and execute it. Or I can... I think, yep, I can get the browser here. And this kind of shows the what will be possible with this system later. I think I need to move on to the Croquet stuff. So what normally is shown next is that you can debug very easily. So you can get the debugger and fix your error and proceed without restarting your application and stuff like that. So it's really, really powerful. But we really need to move on to croquet because we have only 13 minutes left. Here are some links: Squeakland for kids, squeak.org for the hackers, and in Germany we have squeak-ev. And now croquet, which is the current project of Alan Kay and some other guys. And they asked the questions, what would we do if we could design an operating system again from scratch, completely now, with the computers that we have now, with 3D graphics, really fast networking. And a second squeak with croquet loaded is running there. So this looks kind of like squeak that we have seen. Yeah, the car a bit drawn a bit nicer, but this is croquet. And one thing which is a nice thing to think about it is the kids today have a PlayStation at home, and I think they really won't like this car. Yeah, this is really boring. And so this is what croquet looks today. And the idea is that you have a 3D environment. This is Squeak, so we can, let's see, where is the nice, there is the underwater world. Can just walk around, go into these portals, go to some text. Yeah, no. No, I don't want you. Maybe another text. It is a bit strange to use at times. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. So let's run around a bit. And the idea is that this environment is first completely written in Squeak, so you can change everything. So the whole 3D graphics is written, is using OpenGL, but for accessing OpenGL, there was not a single line of C code added, but it goes directly to the OpenGL DLL from inside Squeak, so you have the complete power of OpenGL, and you can change everything at runtime without stopping the system. And the second thing is that the whole thing is network transparent, so you can actually join together lots of computers with the same world, and then people can change the world as they want to, and everyone sees the results. So showing croquet with one computer is actually a dumb idea. But the problem is that I didn't have a second computer and no one else with croquet knowledge to show it. So I had hoped that some other developers would come, but they didn't have time, so it's sad. Let's see, just to show. So it is network transparent, and everything you do is networked. So you, as soon as you write some script, everyone else sees it. And it's kind of powerful, so you have kind of game engine-like functionality. It is not yet optimized. This is a pre-alpha version. And the goal is to have a system that is as good as any other game engine, but completely written in Squeak and not in C++. Ooh, we need to come from the other side to go in that portal. And the idea is that these portals are a bit like web pages. So in the end, everyone can do his own croquet world and put it on his computer and then invite others to come into the world and to work together. You have voice over IP enabled, and you can then talk to the people and do work together. Like this is a small animation, for example. Let's see, here's a nice example of the power of Squeak. People most of the time think that bytecode interpreters are slow. Where's the flag? No flag. Someone deleted the flag. There it is. So this flag is completely written in Squeak, in the Squeak programming language. So everything, the calculation of the physics is done in Squeak, no C code, and then rendered using OpenGL. So how much time do we have? So we could try to, I could try to show a bit that you can really change everything at runtime. So we can make this a bit smaller. And toggle the full screen of Squeak and not of this 3D. Okay. So the problem is that the development environment is not yet finished for the 3D stuff. So we need to get the Squeak browser, and opening the Squeak browser inside the 3D world is a bit slow because it has to do magic tricks to render the browser here in the OpenGL. This will soon be fixed with a complete re-implementation of the 2D GUI stuff. So we can go to Croquet demo, and there is somewhere a wave demo, and this is actually back here, and it displays a wave simulation as soon as you have sound. So we need to get sound somehow. Let's see, we need to go to music. I don't know. And get something. Okay, we don't need the sound because I just want to show what you can do with the graphics at runtime. So this displays now a waveform for the sound. And the code is here in the browser. So draw the current sample buffer with lines. And we have somewhere here a second method that is called draw points. So we can just change to call the other method. So we just say points, accept. Need to say who I am. And, wow, points. Or I can change the color to color green. And now it does not change the color anymore, but it will be green. And you can do that at runtime without having to stop, recompile, and restart. So. Questions? The question was where to find a tutorial. For Croquet, there is a short tutorial on the web page, which is croquetproject.org. The problem with Squeak is that the documentation is really not good. So this is really a problem. But it's kind of hard to fix that because the only way to fix it is to write a book. And that's, But the Croquet guys are much better at that. So David A. Smith, who is one of the three main Croquet developers besides David Reed and Andreas Raab, he really says that he wants to have at least three books, a bit like the OpenGL standard documentation with one cookbook and stuff like that. So this will come, but later.
If you connect two of... It's me.
There are books for Squeak, yes. They are a bit old, but there are around three books for Squeak, yes.
Yes. If you connect several of these computers together, and how do you resolve name clashes of, I mean, you have two systems, and they have perhaps the same function name for different code, because one of them has modified it. How is that resolved?
Actually, I don't know much about the networking model behind it. So I can't answer that question, really. And the current Croquet version does not yet have the real networking version that will be added in the end version. So the current one has a bit of a traditional networking model that scales up to maybe 10 computers, and the T-time object model is supposed to scale maybe to 10,000s of computers at some point.
Is there some kind of security model if you don't want people to be able to modify everything in your web application or world?
Not yet, but this is something that is now worked on. So there is a project called Elang, who already worked on secure stuff for some time, and they are now starting to look at the Croquet project as an example of how to a nice example where this would be needed. So this is now currently being worked on.
I'd like to know how performance is like, because this is like an interpreted system.
Yeah, performance. It is slower than C, of course, to use a normal bytecode interpreter, but it is much faster than Python, for example. So I guess around 5 times or something. Okay. And nobody complains that Python is too slow. Or it is much faster than Perl. And it, yeah.
Are there just-in-time compilers for Squeak or
yes.
Smalltalk?
There has been some experiments. One for J3 actually got quite far, but this is not yet in the distribution. But it has been worked on, and I think it's getting some more work now.
Can you just say a word about licenses, or did I miss that?
Yeah, licenses. So everything that Croquet adds to Squeak is under MIT license, so BSD-like. You can do everything. Squeak has some license bugs, actually. So the Squeak license was supposed to be LGPL-like, so you can build on top and even sell, but if you change the core, you have to give it. But by doing that in 1996 with Apple lawyers, they did some mistakes. And these mistakes are really unfortunate, because they actually make it, in a way, non-open source, because it is not according to the Debian or open source definition. But this was not the intention, and there is, again, some work done to fix that. So even if we need to rewrite this Squeak stuff completely, at some point it will have the same license than Croquet. Just MIT, do whatever you want. Which is what it should be, because you want to use it in a project and change it for your project. Security model, yeah, we had already the question. There will be a security model in Croquet. There is not yet. For Squeak, there is a small sandbox. So the Squeakland Squeak is running in the browser for easy installation, and this has a sandbox approach. But there will be a real good security model for Croquet in the future. This is now being worked on. Okay, I think it's time to stop. Thank you.